to $3 a pack. But we're here today to announce that as of today, about 216 candidates for the Maryland General Assembly have signed on and are committed to increasing the tax on cigarettes. So to me, this is all kind of perplexing and aggravating, because over 50 years ago, the Surgeon General of the United States reported that tobacco was injurious to our health. And today, 50 years later, tobacco is the leading preventable cause of death in the United States. Over 400,000 Americans die each year from tobacco, 6,800 of which are in Maryland. In addition, costs to Maryland related to tobacco disease is about $2 billion a year. So from past experience, we know that increases in the cigarette tax have decreased smoking amongst juveniles and adults. And also the funds from the tax are, they strengthen the healthcare safety net, and they fund the smoking cessation programs. So speaking for physicians, you know, our goal is to prevent disease rather than treating diseases that should have been preventable. And I'd like to hand this over to Vinny.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you very, very much. I want to thank Dr. Brian Avin and MedCHI, the State Medical Society, for their great leadership on this issue over the years. MedCHI has been at the forefront of making public health progress happen in Maryland. And I'm Vinny DeMarco. I'm the president of the Maryland Healthcare for All Coalition. And I'm here to say this is a great day for public health in Maryland. We are announcing that what we believe will be a majority of the Maryland General Assembly elected this year already supports a dollar increase in the cigarette tax, the tobacco tax, to reduce teen smoking and fund critical public health and health care needs. We have, as you see on the list over here, 216 candidates for General Assembly have endorsed our proposal in one of several ways. They were either co-sponsors of the legislation this past year, they signed our resolution of support, they signed a document put out by MedCHI, which asked for their support for this proposal, or they sent us an email saying, put us on a list of endorsers. In one of those four ways, they got themselves on this list. And as you could see, this is 216 candidates, including Democrats and Republicans, incumbents and challengers from the Eastern Shore to Western Maryland, all across the state. Candidates have endorsed this proposal. And when we looked at who is likely to win, we estimate that of the likely senators coming back and serving in 2015, we believe that at least 27 of them will have already endorsed our proposal. And as you know, 24 is a majority. In the House, based on the people who've endorsed us so far, we believe that 79, at least 79 of those returning next session will have already supported our proposal. As you know, 71 is a majority. Our work is not completed. The tobacco companies will fight this very hard. They have lots of money, and we need to do a lot of work. But right now, today, we can say to you that we believe there is already a majority of the General Assembly committed to this proposal. And of course they should be committed to it, because as you can see from this chart over here on my left, over the last 15 years, Maryland has made tremendous progress in reducing smoking because of past tobacco taxes. We've reduced smoking 32%, double the national average, saved 70,000 lives, 40% drop amongst kids. And the last time a cigarette tax went up in 2007, we used the money to expand health care to over 100,000 lower-income parents. This is a great public health victory. And what today means is that because of the support of the people on this list, we're going to extend that progress. We're going to build on that progress and do even more to save lives in Maryland. Now, this legislation was introduced this past year in the Senate by Senator Verna Jones-Rodwell and Senator Rich Mattolino and 19 other senators. In the House, Delegate Eric Liedtke, and he was joined by Delegate Barbara Frosch, and with us, Delegate Sean Tarrant. And it's my pleasure right now to introduce to you Delegate Sean Tarrant, who during his time in the Maryland House of Delegates has been one of the premier public health leaders working on the Health and Government Operations Committee. He's fought very hard for health care expansion, and he's been a true advocate of public health measures such as increasing the tobacco tax, and we're thrilled that he's here with us. Let me introduce Senator Delegate Sean Tarrant.
Thank you. Thank you, Vinny. And thank you so much for all those who stand with us and make sure that we get tobacco out of the hands of our teens. New York and New Jersey, where I still have family that live there, a pack of cigarettes is actually $14. And so that's the lowest rate of teen smoking in places like New York, New Jersey, because you decide for yourself as a kid, do I, A, want to go out and get lunch for two, or do I want a pack of cigarettes? So I'd much rather see a kid buying two $5 Subway subs than going out and getting a pack of cigarettes. And so I've enjoyed working with my colleagues and making sure that we increase the tobacco tax, whether it would be, you know, for tobacco being cigarettes per pack, or even little cigars that we were able through the budget and the work with Vinnie DeMarco and Maryland Healthcare for All to raise the little cigar tax by 70% to make sure that these tobacco companies that are targeting our young kids with candy-flavored cigar taste, that we also raise the tobacco tax on that. But the $1 tax per pack, my new colleagues that will hopefully get elected, I look forward to working with them and getting this passed in 2015. Thank you, Vinny.
Thank you. Thank you, Delegate, very, very much. I'm glad that Delegate Tarrant mentioned the little cigars and smokeless tobacco. We increased those taxes in 2012. Delegate Tarrant played a big role. This proposal proposes to increase the tax on cigarettes by $1 per pack and to have a comparable additional increase in a tax on smokeless tobacco and little cigars. We want to make sure all these deadly products are out of the reach of young people. So thank you, Delegate Tarrant, for all of your tremendous leadership in the past, and we look forward to working with you in 2015 to make this progress happen. We proposed this increase in a cigarette tax, tax on smokeless tobacco, and tax on little cigars, and we want the money to be used for public health purposes, to make sure that tobacco prevention program is funded at no less than $21 million per year, as it should be, and that the rest of the money is used to make sure everyone has the health care they need in Maryland. And one of the reasons we're here today is because of the broad coalition of faith, community, labor, and healthcare groups, over 700 of them. One of the lead ones, of course, is MedCAI. Another lead organization is the American Academy of Pediatricians, the Maryland chapter, and their executive director, Paula Minsk, is here with us today. Paula?
Thank you, Vinny. Obviously, if kids do not start smoking, they don't smoke as adults. So our organization is the Maryland chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, and we represent over 1,000 pediatricians all over the state. Pediatricians give what's called anticipatory guidance, and they discuss with their kids, patients, and their families about how bad starting to smoke and continuing to smoke is. They also recommend programs for kids who have started and want to quit before they get to the point of no return. So we're really happy to support this, and we look forward to working with MedCAI and Vinny to make sure that this gets passed in the 2015 General Assembly. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much,
Paula.
This was not easy, compiling the list of 216 candidates. As many of you know, on April 9th, we began this process, and we worked very, very hard. I want to thank our Senior Deputy Director, Rosanna Miles, Matt Chelton, our Deputy Director, other Deputy Directors, Suzanne Schlottman, Stephanie Clapper, our wonderful intern, and Diana, and everyone here at MedCAI for the great work you did. But one of the people who really beat the bushes and contacted these candidates, particularly in Prince George's County, but really all across the state, and basically said to them, the voters want you to do this, you better do it, is one of the great public health leaders in Maryland, John O'Hara of Maryland Gas. John?
Thank you. Yes, I'm John O'Hara, the president of the Maryland Group Against Smokers Pollution, and this is a very happy day for us because we've been fighting for tobacco control here in Maryland for the last 39 years. And I think the importance of this particular legislation, they talk about win-win situations where both sides win or multiple people win. I think this is truly a win-win-win situation because with the increased revenues, we will be able to do the things that Vinny already mentioned, provide health care, and increase the tobacco control program here in Maryland. But I think the real winners are the people who are going to say that are currently smokers out there who are going to say, wait a minute, this is just too much, I'm going to kick the addiction. And they'll do that, and that will benefit them immensely in many ways. But I think the really big winners here are going to be the kids who never get addicted in the first place. Not only will they save thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars maybe over their lifetime, but they will never have to worry about getting cancer and strokes and other things which are tobacco imposed. So with that, I'd like to say it's a win-win-win situation. I'd personally like to thank Vinny for the immense effort that he's put forth in creating this coalition, and I just hope that everybody sticks to their pledges out there and that we get this bill passed in 2015. Thank you.
Thank you. And John O'Hara will be watching. So we're going to, we believe that this list here is going to translate into, in 2015, the enactment of the Healthy Maryland Initiative legislation. Any questions?
You didn't seek pledges from the gubernatorial candidates. Why?
We did not, just like in 2010, we did not seek pledges from the gubernatorial candidates for our proposed alcohol tax increase, because we determined that this has to come from the General Assembly. We want to have a majority of the General Assembly so that whoever is elected governor will be supported. Now, we should note that the three Democratic candidates for governor have all in the past supported tobacco tax increases. Any other questions?
How much of this is about wanting to see additional decreases due to the fact that the current tax rate has kind of leveled off those initial decreases that you saw when they were first enacted?
We want to build on the progress. We're very happy that Maryland has one of the lowest smoking rates in the country. The 32% drop is terrific. But as you point out, and as you see from that chart, that is leveling off, and that is what happens. We need to do another cigarette tax increase to continue the drop. And it is also unfortunate that the tobacco control program is funded at less than it should be. It was funded at $21 million per year. In 1999, we helped pass a law that said the program had to be $21 million minimum. That law was repealed, and now it's at around $10 million. We want it to be at least $21 million. The data shows that the best way for a state to reduce smoking is to do three things. Have a smoke-free workplace law, which we enacted in 2007. Thank you, John, Medcock. We enacted that in 2007. Increase cigarette taxes, which we're going to do again, and have an adequately funded tobacco prevention program. So we want to do all three of those things. So the purpose, as you say, is to continue the progress and continue the drop in smoking beyond where it is now.
To what do you attribute that leveling off? This leveled off at the same time that the economy went bad, so it's not exactly gotten cheaper to smoke. So what do you attribute the leveling off?
Well, as you see that, if you see the chart previously, that happens. There's a big drop when you increase the cigarette tax, and after a couple of years, it tends to level off, and then there's another drop. We want to keep that drop happening. But frankly, I think the fact that the tobacco prevention program is not funded where it should be is also a factor. We want that tobacco prevention program back to $21 million. And we believe that once we have the additional tobacco tax increase and we have the tobacco prevention program funded adequately, we will be able to reduce smoking. But I want to emphasize, and back to what Delegate Tarrant said, we want to increase both the tax on cigarettes and the tax on smokeless tobacco and little cigars. In 2007, just the cigarette tax went up. And there was a big drop in cigarette smoking amongst kids, but there was an increase in smoking of little cigars and smokeless. We rectified that some in 2012 by increasing the tax on those products. This time, we want to increase all these tobacco products because you don't want a situation where kids will switch from one to the other.
What about opponents who say that these sales per pack declines are not representative of what's going on because of increased purchasing from out of state and even smuggling from out of state? And the comptroller's office is repeatedly talking about that issue.
Well, first of all, we commend Comptroller Franchot for what he's doing to stop smuggling, and we want to work closely with him. We're glad that he got some more teeth in the law last couple of years, and we want to work with him to make sure this doesn't happen. The 32% drop in smoking is based on surveys. There's also the drop in packs of sales. Come on up, Reverend. But there was also a major drop. The 32% drop I'm talking about is based on surveys, which is actual drop in smoking by adults and kids, 40% amongst kids. So we know the law is having that impact. We actually did an analysis of the 2007 tobacco tax increase where we found that there was a big drop in cigarette sales in Maryland and only a small increase in neighboring states. So, yes, some people will go cross-border and maybe Western Maryland, Eastern Shore a little bit, but overall that won't happen. It costs so much money for gas that you're not going to drive down to Montgomery County, down to Virginia, to get cigarettes from Maryland to save money from a cigarette, a pack of cigarettes.
And also, from, if I can answer from a legislative perspective, is that we pass laws for people who are going to do the right thing. A person who was going to break the law, we can't prevent that person from illegally, you know, we try to prevent them best that we can, but we're really trying to make sure that kids don't smoke, and also we know that they're price, the kids are price sensitive, where it can become too high for them to smoke. So as long as, Vinny's saying, we keep on that path, it will get to that point where kids just say, hey, I'm never gonna start smoking. And so if somebody wants to go out of state, that's very unfortunate, and hopefully the comptroller's office will catch them, but we make laws to keep the honest person honest.
And Delegate Turan pointed out that the states that have taxes even higher than Maryland have lower teen smoking rates. We want to achieve those goals here in Maryland.
Are you at the point where the tobacco tax isn't generating the revenue you expect, the point of diminishing returns, because so few people are smoking, they're not, you know, the tax isn't generating the money?
Well, it's a good question, and based on analysis of what happened in Maryland and other states, we can very readily predict how much money is going to come in. Mm-hmm. Tobacco taxes are a declining revenue source, but they're a predictable declining revenue source. The 2007 tobacco tax increase has been bringing in $121 million per year, which has funded healthcare expansion to 100,000 people. We estimate this dollar will bring in about $100 million per year, less because there are less people smoking. But we can predict that that will happen. And unlike a sales tax and other taxes, which are very voluble with the economy, tobacco tax increases are very predictable, and we think that this can fund the tobacco prevention program to $21 million and the healthcare needs that we are hoping to fund. I want to introduce Reverend Fred Weimert.
Sorry, I was late.
No, come in, Reverend Weimert. Reverend Weimert will tell you about his sons who quit smoking because of past tobacco tax increases. Reverend?
I'm Fred Weimert. I'm the president of Central Maryland Ecumenical Council, and I know that the bishops of the major denominations, the Roman Catholic, the Lutheran, the Episcopal, are all part of Central Maryland Ecumenical Council, and they have voted in favor of continuing to raise the taxes on smoking to see them stop. From a personal point of view, my own two sons smoked for most of their high school years into college, stopped mostly because of economics, mostly because of the tax. It just got too expensive for them, and I was very happy, for one, to see that small drop of two people from the rolls of cigarette smoking. It meant a lot to me for their personal health and well-being. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend. Reverend Weimer's story is a powerful one and brings to life the 70,000 lives that we've saved by increasing tobacco taxes in the past. We want to keep doing that. Are there any other questions?
I have a comment to make.
John.
Concerning the increased money for the tobacco control efforts, I'd just like to point out that when we had that $21 million a year, there were some incredible programs out there. Speaking on behalf of the Prince George's County area, we had a terrific program in monitoring the sale of tobacco products. We had a former policeman who was in charge of that. Not only was he conducting sting operations and catching a few people, but he also caught a lot of other people who were illegally selling tobacco products that had not been taxed, that had been smuggled in and so on. The other thing is, sir, you asked a question about the governors. I went to a governor's forum in Bowie about 3 weeks ago, I guess it was, and I submitted a question for them to ask each of the candidates. Why she did this, I don't know, but she only asked one candidate, and that was the current lieutenant governor. And he made no bones about it. He said, boy, he says, I've never voted against a tobacco tax yet. And he said, you can take it from there that if this thing passes, he would sign it, okay? So thank you.
There's always the argument from small businesses that argue that this will hurt it will hurt businesses and take, you know, it's a perfectly legal product. Adults who want to smoke, it's going to get expensive. They're going to go elsewhere. What do you say?
Well, we all want less people to smoke. Yeah. And hopefully these businesses can sell other products when they sell less cigarettes. And we all certainly don't want kids to smoke. And Our point is all of us suffer, as Dr. Aben pointed out, because hundreds of billions of dollars a year are spent on the costs of tobacco illnesses. So it's a problem for all of us. This is, as John O'Hara said, a win-win-win for the state of Maryland.
Can I just inject another thing? Yeah. When people talk about maybe losing a buck here, remember, if those kids have money, or if those people have money, they're currently spending it on cigarettes, they're going to spend it on something else, okay? Whatever that may be. And as a matter of fact, we even put out things saying, you know, for the money you spend on cigarettes, you could get this, this, this in terms of clothing, shoes, whatever. So that money is going to be in the economy. So if it hurts one part of the economy, the people that are presently making money off of selling this stuff to kids, it's going to assist in other parts.
And it'll save lives.
And it'll save lives.
Tobacco tax increases save lives. That's our message. And we're going to do it again in 2015.
And if I can just close you up by saying that as Chief Deputy Majority Whip, this is one of those types of taxes that we would go out and actually whip our party and make sure that we got them in line to vote for this issue. So I look forward in 2015 working with the Speaker's office. And so all three of the candidates for governor, Democratic side, have supported it. So this will be an issue that we can actually go out ahead of time and make sure people are aligned with us before we even bring the bill out of committee to make sure that we can whip it and bring it out on the floor and get it passed. Instead of 71, we'll get a supermajority and make it 85.
All right. Thank you, Delegate. We like that.